The story of Christmas is wrapped around people, real life people, servants, shepherds, and scholars, wise men. Common people whose stories are marked by scandal and stumble and spectacle. And in the midst of all of them, hovers over them God Almighty. The shaper, the sovereign, the savior of sinking hearts, God Almighty. And passing out high callings and second chances and moral compasses to all, these common people find themselves in the hands of God. And to look closely enough at this cast of characters, we find some stories, we find our stories in theirs. We find our hope where they found hope, in the hands of an infant God laying in the manger. And over the next few weeks, friends, I'd like to introduce you to the cast of characters filling out the greatest stage in history. And of course, as God was passing out the parts in his nativity story, he gave the female lead to a young girl named Mary. Mary's importance in the story of Christmas can hardly be overstated. In fact, I recently heard about the small boy who was writing a letter to Jesus about the Christmas presents he badly wanted. He said, "I've been good for 6 months now," he wrote. And after a moment's reflection, he crossed out 6 months and wrote 2 months. And then he paused for a while and crossed out that and wrote 2 weeks. And there was another pause and he crossed that out too. But then he got up from the table and went over to the nativity scene in his house where there were figures of Mary and Joseph, and he picked up the figure of Mary and went back to his writing and stated, "Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again." You know, as the mother of Jesus, Mary is better known, friends, than any other woman in world history, and has held a place of highest honor since the day of the manger in Bethlehem. But what was her life like? Who was she really? And how can we find our story in hers? And today I want to discuss and talk about Mary. Mary plays two widely different roles or differing roles among Catholics and Protestants. Now, we don't talk disrespectfully about any church, friends. But according to Catholic teaching, according to Pope Pius IX, he said, God has committed to Mary the treasury of all good things, in order that through her are obtained every hope, every grace, and all salvation. Another pope came along and added this. His name was Pope Pius XII. And he said, it is the will of God that we should have nothing which has not passed through the hands of Mary. Now, Christianity today, the issue was December 8th, 1997, stated that there has been a push among Catholics to the present Pope to declare Mary the co-redeemer. the mediator of all graces, an advocate of all people. But we know the scriptures, friends. You see, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. And so, friends, we must, it must be clearly taught that our dear sister Mary has no place in our redemption. It is only by the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. It is only by the shed blood of Jesus Christ that you and I can have the forgiveness of sin and open access to God the Father.
Amen.
Like Mary, who also needed her sins forgiven, so do we. However, let me be quick to add that while many overestimate Mary's importance and attribute things to her that are not taught in the Bible, many Protestants, many people underestimate her importance. Many of us give her a cameo appearance. We allow her a cameo appearance in Christmas cards, in Christmas carols, and nativity scenes during this time of year, and then we tuck her away like a Christmas ornament, out of sight, out of mind, until her reappearance next December. And Mary has become a victim of neglect. As we will see this morning, friends, Mary did play a crucial role in God's plan. And we'll do ourselves a spiritual disfavor if we neglect her or ignore her. Friends, I don't want to get into a theological argument because I can see some people. I don't want to get into a theological argument, so put away the gloves because you will lose anyway. I'm just joking with you. Come and see how lovely you smile. My goal is simply this. Listen, today's sermon, my goal is simply this. Not to disrespect anybody. No, sir. But it's based upon what the Bible teaches. What relevance does Mary's faith have on us today? That's important. Let me give you some background. We know at least four things about Mary. She was a teenager. You know, when my professor told me she was only around 13, I nearly freaked out. She was a young teenager, 13, around there. We know that she was poor. We know that she was a devout believer in God, and that she was very much in love to a fellow named Joseph. The story opens when Mary is engaged to this fellow Joseph. Now, between the engagement and the wedding feast, there is a period that usually lasted 6 months to a year. And during this period, this engaged couple, though they might be referred to as being married or being called husband and wife, they did not live together and they did not have marital relations. Like brides to be everywhere, she could hardly think of anything else. This 13-year-old, come on now. She's only thinking about the wedding day. The guest list. Ooh, the decorations. The flowers, the food. We must remember the music. And of course, her dress. She can't think of anything else. Like brides to be everywhere. her mind is full of thoughts about this exciting time. Mary could not have been happier. And right at this point, friends, right at this point that God enters the scene, he is about to ask this unknown teenage girl to take part in something that will change her life and, of course, the course of history forever. Suddenly, gone were the happy dreams of a beautiful wedding. Gone were the days of sweet anticipation. Gone were the carefully thought out plans of the wedding feast. She will be married, but not before rumors spread throughout the country. Our text is found in Luke 1, verse 26 to 38, but we're going to start looking at verse 26 and 27. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Elizabeth was cousin Elizabeth, Mary's cousin. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Friends, these two verses set a historical framework. They let us know that what was about to happen really happened, and that the episode, that this episode was not a figment of some author's or writer's imagination, not a fictitious story or some kind of religious hallucination. No, these two verses, have two facts about Mary. Number one, she was a virgin, and it's actually repeated in verse 27. There's twice it's mentioned. Second, she has no idea what is about to happen. Mary is completely in the dark without a clue that her life will be changed forever. That's what these verses tell us. Now let's imagine the scene, friends. Let's suppose that Gabriel first appeared to Mary one day when she was in the backyard in the middle of the afternoon getting ready to go to the well to draw water. Let's imagine that's it. And she looks up and she sees this tall man. And then he speaks to her in verse 28. He says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Mary was troubled, friends, because she did not think of herself as being highly favored. Just like you and I, she knew her shortcomings and setbacks. But that's not half of it. Without a pause, Gabriel proceeds to tell her something that blows her mind, that she was going to have a baby, but not just any old baby. She was going to give birth to the Son of God. Wow. Listen to the words in verse 30 to 33. But this time, put yourself in her shoes. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." The first time we read in verse 28 where Gabriel said to Mary, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." And this time he tells her that again, that she has found favor with God, and he adds that she does not need to be afraid. But there's a shift in the emphasis, friends. There's a shift in the emphasis. Now, while he tells her again she's favored, there's a shift in the emphasis. The emphasis is not on Mary this time. It's on her son. Gabriel uses beautiful poetic language to recall the messianic prophecy from the Old Testament, which is fulfilled in Jesus. Gabriel is saying, "You know what, Mary? Your baby boy will be the Messiah foretold for hundreds of years. This is the one. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Lord of life." Let's look at what the angel said to Mary. First, she will be pregnant. That's fulfillment of Isaiah 7 verse 14. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." We know Emmanuel means God with us. This scripture, Isaiah, was written 700 years before Mary was talking to this to Gabriel the angel. 700 years. The angel names the boy Jesus, which means Jehovah salvation. And in Matthew 21 verse 21, this name is explained. She will give birth to a son, and he will save his people from their sins. Amen. Amen. The angel also says to Mary, "He will be great," which is a fulfillment of Isaiah 9 verse 6. Jody read it for us. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." He will be great, friends. Thirdly, the angel said he will be called the Son of the Most High. Fourthly, the angel said he will be given the throne of his father David, which is a fulfillment of the prophecy found in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And fifthly, the angel said he will reign forever. Amen?
Amen.
With these bold declarations, Mary could have responded in a variety of ways. She could ask hundreds of questions, but she only had one concern. It was a technical matter that she would like cleared up. Verse 34. "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin." This is a perfectly natural question. Mary is engaged but not formally married. She has saved herself for her husband. How then can she become pregnant and have a son? And in verse 35, the angel answers Mary's question. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." And so the angel deals with the biological issue by saying that the power of the Holy Spirit of God will overcome Mary, and she will conceive. And the last part of verse 35, he adds something that Mary didn't ask. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. There are two important truths, friends. Just go back, please.
Which verse is it again?
It's verse 35. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Friends, there are two important truths in verse 35. It was necessary for the Savior of the world to be born of a woman, so that he would be of the same nature of those he came to save. Isn't that true? Now compare that with Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Why? To redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Friends, it was important that that Jesus was born of a woman, so he could identify with us. But it was equally important that his father was divine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Otherwise, if his father was Joseph, Jesus would be just like you and I, a sinner needing to be saved. But he would be holy, sinless, blameless, friends. This is one verse Gabriel. In this one verse, Gabriel is making clear the glorious fact that both of these requirements are fulfilled in the life of Jesus. He is fully man and fully God. You see that, friends? As C.S. Lewis put it, he said it so nicely, the Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God.
Amen.
And you know, in verse 36, it's not on the screen, the angel explains that, you see, Mary, the power of God has already impacted your cousin, your elderly cousin Elizabeth, who is already 6 months pregnant. And then in verse 37, Gabriel summarizes all that he has been saying to Mary with this verse. For nothing is impossible with God. We identify. We identify, friends. We immediately identify that God can do what he will. He can do anything that he determines. I think there should be a long pause now. I think there should be a long pause between this verse and the next verse. But think about this. And I was reading in his book called Peculiar Treasures, author, preacher, theologian Frederick Buchner describes the moment between these verses as the angel Gabriel waits now for Mary's answer. Let me read from this book. Mary struck the angel Gabriel as hardly old enough to have a child at all, let alone this child. But he'd been entrusted with a message to give her, and he gave it. He told her what the child was to be named and who he was to be, and something about the mystery that was to come upon her. You mustn't be afraid, Mary, he said. And as he said that, he only hoped she wouldn't notice that beneath his great golden wings, he himself was trembling with fear to think that the whole future of creation now hung on the answer of a teenager. And he's standing there. I believe the whole of heaven stood up listening. What? What is this child going to say? And nowhere, friends, this thing sounded incredible to Mary, but she didn't doubt his words. She believed what the angel said. She had real faith. That's believing the impossible. That's trusting God when the facts argue against it. And nowhere is it seen more clearly than in the next verse after 37 comes 38. She says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her, and I believe there was an explosion of praise in heaven. Mary said yes. Mary said yes. And friends, listen, how does your story fit into her story? We have to come to put our faith in God. We have to believe, even if it's not making sense, friend. Even if you don't have all your ducks in a row, you have to come to a place where you say yes to God.
Amen.
You got to, every one of us, we have to be like Mary and say, may it be to me as you have said. Friends, Mary was available. She was a servant. She recognized she as being the property of God. Without exaggeration, this is called one of the greatest statements of faith in the entire Bible. This child, man, hey, in the backyard, hey, having this experience. Did her heart skip a beat when she said yes? You bet it did. But she said it. She is available with her head tilted up. Friends, her hands trembling just a bit, wide-eyed, nervous, open mouth, questioning but not afraid, wondering but not terrified, unsure but not uncertain. When the angel said, nothing is impossible with God, Mary took a breath and said, may it be to me as you have said. Friends, Mary said yes. And with those words, Christmas came to the earth.
Amen.
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 Amen. Christmas came to the world. Friends, are you available to God this Christmas? Are you ready to say yes to Him? Are you holding back and say, I'm still not sure? Don't be afraid to make yourself available to Him, friends. Your life will never be the same. Let's not underestimate what it cost Mary to be available to God. And listen, when you say yes to God, hey, you might have so much opposition from those very close to you. Your own family and friends will despise you. Because you said yes to God. You have made yourself available to God. Listen what happened. Mary knew that when she said yes to God, it meant public shame. Okay? Gone were her pure reputation that she had, and the hopes that she dreamt of a quiet, happy life in Nazareth. And Mary had no way of saying how Joseph is going to respond. Would he dump her? Will you walk out of her? Will you humiliate her publicly? After all, he wasn't the father. He actually considered leaving her. All this was just the beginning. Mary could not know what the future held. Before it was all over, listen to this, mothers. Listen to this, friends. Before it was all over, she would experience heartache, opposition, slander, confusion, anguish, despair, and loneliness. And in the end, she will face the greatest pain a mother can endure when she stood and watched her son dying on the cross. I want to end now. While none of us have ever been in Mary's shoes, I'm sure that we can relate. You've had some difficult situations. Maybe you found yourself in situations that resulted in broken relationships or lost reputation. Maybe there have been times when you had a story that no one would believe. Or when you were ashamed to show yourself in public. Maybe you can relate to Mary's fear and anxiety. You've been in over your head, as it were, before. Maybe you felt overwhelmed by your situation. Maybe you're carrying heavy burdens today. For some, Christmas will be you will be lonely this year. Maybe you are facing financial crisis that looks hopeless to you right now. Maybe you're estranged from members of your own family. Maybe you have children who are far from God. Maybe you feel empty and far away from God yourself, and the list goes on and on and on. But all these things have this in common, friends. They seem impossible to solve by any human means. And for most part, they are. Remember this. Christmas is all about miracles. Amen. They happened 2,000 years ago and they still happen today. You know why, friends? You know why, friends? Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Nothing is impossible with God. What is it that God wants from us? He wants the same thing he wanted from Mary. He wants us to be available disciples. Available. Friends, even though Mary was favored by God, let me say this here again so that you can clearly understand this. Even though she was favored by God, she also needed to be forgiven by God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Why? You remember Romans 3 verse 23 from when you were small.
Yeah.
The Bible says we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it gradually began to dawn on Mary that God's plan for forgiveness was wrapped up in this little baby, Jesus. The final appearance of Mary in all four Gospels occurs in a violent scene she did not want to witness, just outside Jerusalem. on a hill, watching helplessly as a first son hung on the cross like a criminal. And like many of the other available disciples of that time, Mary must, amidst the tears, the heartbrokenness, Mary must have realized God's wisdom in his perfect plan. Yeah, this is why Jesus came. That's what his name means, that he will save his people from their sins. I like how the Christmas card put it. God knew our greatest need. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need was technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need was pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, and God sent us a savior. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And not just any savior. Because Jesus was born of Mary, he was fully human, and therefore he could identify with our condition. Because he was conceived by God's power apart from an earthly father, he was fully divine, and so he could meet God's holy demands for justice. Don't you like that song, Mary, Did You Know? I was reading the words yesterday. The songwriter asked questions. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Amen.
Amen. At some point in her life, Mary made a decision to become available and to become a disciple. After giving birth to Jesus, she then needed to be born again herself. Even though she had close contact with her son for many years, she ends up at the cross, just like you and I need to, friends. Friends, life is too important to miss out on what Mary discovered. Thankfully, she didn't put her decision off. She didn't say to Gabriel, I'm 13. Come back another time when I'm older. She responded right away, friends, before it was too late. She made herself available. And she became a disciple. What about you? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you that you gave us your only son. And like Mary, whoever puts their faith in him, whoever believes in him, will not perish but have everlasting life. We look forward to being with our sister Mary one day in heaven and to thank her for the role she played. And for her obedience and her availability. Because when we look at her life and all the struggles and all the hardships surrounding that time in her life, it makes us think of our own hardships and struggles that we face in our time. And we get encouraged when we hear that nothing is impossible with God. We get a second wind and we say, be that as it may. Our situations are overwhelming, but nothing is impossible with God. And we, at that same time, Lord, when we think about that, we say yes to you, Lord. We are available to serve you, Lord, to give our lives to you, Lord, to be a servant of the living God. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.